The footy's on Triple M. The weekend is here.
I like it.
And so is Triple M footy.
And doesn't he love it?
I just want to say I've got a pretty good feeling about this.
This is the Friday Huddle.
Farine Hot Water and McDonald's.
Triple M rocks footy.
That's it. Hope you've had a fantastic week and hope that the next 2 hours it only gets better. West Coast versus Collingwood, the game bit after 8 o'clock local time. Perth, 6 o'clock. So much to get through in the show tonight. Guests, some serious names tonight. Adam Simpson to join us, the coach of the West Coast Eagles, the captain of the Collingwood Football Club, Scott Pendlebury, a man that's played for both these clubs and various others. Scotty Cummings, one of the nicest men in football, to join us. Nate's got a top five. Chief Slaughterhouse is back. And your chance to beat the Chief in a musical quiz tonight. It is hair bands of the 80s. Oh. So much to look forward to. Always my favourite part of the week when I'm surrounded by such a group of loving, positive, engaging, happy, supportive teammates. And I look to our captain, who is always Captain Positive, Luke Darcy. Hello, Darcy.
I think everyone knows that's not true, Howie. Let's not pretend anything less than that. I'm looking forward to catching up with Scotty Cummings tonight. I often say you don't meet bad people in football. Occasionally you do. But Scotty's one of the best. He's a very, very funny man. That'll be good. How are you, Chief?
Who did you meet that was bad?
Just talk to the other two first, please.
Nate?
come back to me.
All right, we'll come back to
you. I'm good,
Chief.
Duke. I've had a good week. Looking forward to a ripping game tonight. Collingwood under a little bit of pressure, but so too West Coast. So fascinating to see what happens tonight.
Hello, Damo.
Hello, Howie. And when Chief does what he's just done, I get the feeling that one of us is in the gun, and I really hope it's not going to be.
Nothing like that.
I heard today, Chief, you didn't get your afternoon nap, which means you're even more edgy than normal, which worries me for the next 2 hours.
Speaking of, Chief, I don't like missing out on my nap.
I played tennis with Chief the other day.
Did you?
And I took down my man, Julian Valance, from Sportsbet, very good tennis player, and Chief knows that he's probably just about the best racing analyst and tipster in the country at the moment. And just at the end, Chief, as we're walking off, Chief yelled out, "Hey, Brownie, just give me Jules' number and so I can ring him and let him know when he comes down to tennis if there's a spot opening up." And said, "No worries, Chief." As we walked off, Jules goes, "He just wants my tips."
I don't dag anyone for tips. But all I said was, "You're such a tool bag." I said, "Mate, I'll let you know if we're short and you can give Jules a try." And then I thought, well, do I have to keep asking Brownie to ask Jules if he's there? Or I can shoot him a text and say, "Mate, we're a little low for numbers. Do you want to come down and have a hit?"
And by the way, what do you got on Saturday?
He plays okay. No, shut up, shit. he's a very good-looking man, Jules, isn't he? Comes down and he's dressed immaculately. Best tanned man I've ever seen as well.
Chief.
As fit as he plays well, but as fit as he looked, he was gasping.
Was he trying
it was
to
nice
get
to
up
get
with
him
you?
Into the system and just give him a bit of a work.
We worked him over.
But honestly, I need to start with something tonight that weighs heavily upon me.
All
at the
of
moment.
Us, actually.
There are people around. we all come from humble beginnings.
Yep.
And you should never lose touch with your grassroots.
I agree.
Every now and then, people get a little carried away with what's happening in their lives, and they try to live life to excess. and they see the rich and famous, and they think, "Well, I can be one of them."
I've seen it before.
So a photograph was forwarded to me during the week, and it's going up on the Triple M Instagram page as we speak.
Oh, is it?
About a young man who is feeling reasonably comfortable with himself.
Is that Chief?
Well, he was organising a game of golf, and the photo was taken. He's there. He's got the sunnies on. He's got the bag over the shoulder, ready to go play.
I've just seen the photo. Oh, no.
And he's walking to a helicopter.
Choppering in.
He's in the stratosphere of those that play golf and use choppers to go to the golf
You're
course.
You're kidding, aren't
you? Come on, Howie.
I'm looking rather red in the face, Howie. It's Mark Howard is now catching choppers to play golf.
Come on, Howie.
What the hell has happened?
No, you got your facts wrong.
That's not you.
No, that is me.
And the helicopter was just there by mistake.
There was a helicopter there.
Blue Thunder.
I was getting the chopper to get home. I wasn't taking it. I had a lot on for the day, Chief, and I was invited to play golf.
Did you seriously get a helicopter?
Howie.
I did.
Who do you think you are?
It's a big 8-seater, two tires.
Even if you've paid for it yourself, that's just flog material.
I bet you didn't pay for it.
Are you comfortable to admit that you've become a tool, Howie? No. Or do you understand?
You flew in a chopper to the Western Bulldogs Oval.
You did.
As one of the Bulldogs greats, I think that was warranted.
That's a one-off for you. This is just.
Yeah. Now, there's a pattern of behaviour here. There's something else we also need to talk about.
It's a nice job.
See, you sit there and you're living like the rich and famous now, but I don't know if your reputation is preceding your substance. So you sit here and you spruik that you have the world's greatest sports podcast.
Howie Games, yep, you're right about that.
And then all of a sudden there was a big announcement made during the week, Cade Simpson in the world of football, talking to Dylan Buckley.
It was good,
I still wish I was playing, like 100%.
Do you still reckon you could play this year?
Yeah.
I think you definitely could.
Now when you've got like mid-season drafts and all that sort of stuff, like if someone did just come knocking, I would actually, I'm ready. I wouldn't.
See, mate, I'm that aroused hearing that you are still keen to play football. It's not funny. A lot of teams listen to this show, Sim. This is the biggest sports podcast in Australia, so there's going to be people
imagine
listening.
Imagine if you got me drafted again. What a story.
So that's Cade Simpson talking about he might want to play again, but there was an important part that people might have glossed over that we need to recap.
Let's hear it.
A lot of teams listen to this show, Sim. This is the biggest sports podcast in Australia. Mm.
The biggest sports podcast in Australia.
And clearly making the news this week.
If a bombshell like that's going to be dropped, you're going to drop it on a big podcast.
Yeah. Well, the other podcast talks about himself all the time and brings it back to himself. So the news doesn't really get out there because people go, well, I don't really want to put it out because Howie's talking about himself all the time
I want to talk about. If I've got a big announcement to make, I'm not making it to a bloke that catches a chopper to his podcast.
And there's a saying in TV. There's a saying in TV where you jump the shark, and that was the Fonzie episode where once the boat
went to Hawaii, water skiing over. Yep.
What do you do next episode? That's the end of Happy Day.
Where do you go?
Once you've jumped the shark. If you have a podcast that had some success.
It's like when you've jagged Elle Macpherson. Where do you go after
that's
that?
That's it. You retire, you put the cue back in there.
Jagged Elle Macpherson.
When you actually spend two episodes interviewing yourself on your own podcast, that's the moment.
Where do you go?
You jump the shark. And that's why people go to Dylan Friends. I know that's where I'll be heading.
I just addressed a couple issues. So Dylan, he's a good little fella, and he rang me a year and a half ago, and he said, "Mate, I'm trying to start a podcast. Can you help me out?" So I gave him some tips.
Derogatory, like he's a good little fella.
Treating him with contempt.
He's been in the arena. His name is Dylan. He played.
Yeah, no, I
he's
understand that, but we're not talking about football.
He's been out there.
We're talking about his podcast.
So he's got bigger than substance. That's what he. That's called substance.
He's a good little fella.
He's a good little fella, and I helped him out with his podcast and gave him a few tips
for the Two Blues,
and it's going well. And Cade Simpson is a fantastic guest for the local audience, which you boys
Local!
That's right. And because you're footballers and you've never been outside your own country, Cade Simpson's a fantastic guest. But when you're a global name, Chief, and you've got Adam Scott,
you're good,
or Kelly Slater.
No, Howie.
Cade Simpson doesn't rate
good,
that.
Howie. These guys, like
he's blasting
Cade Simpson,
his way out here, Chief.
You know what I mean? When Cade starts playing for Manchester United, he can come on. But when you're trying to roll an international operation, and Dill is doing a great job.
Will you consider he has made it when he gets one of his guests to interview him, as you did with Adam Gilchrist?
Well, that's sort of starting to work into the sort of same territory. But let's be honest, how do you judge it? By numbers? Is that how you judge
I'm with you, Damo. I love what he's just done there. He blasted out, but I never expected Howie to play the arrogance game.
Right.
To just come out and go, this is me. I'm the big wig. Everyone else can
it's
suck
not
it.
Arrogance. It's fact. Do you want me to tell you about the chopper?
It's not arrogance.
Do you want me to tell you about the chopper,
Chief?
No,
I've got one other thing to bring up first.
You're going to join the pylon, are you?
No, I'm just...
Now you're getting your little...
We're here to help. We're here to help, Howie. You know,
what I start
not here to hurt, Howard.
People think we make this stuff up, Chief, and we carry on a little bit. We sit around here. Just a minute before we went to air, you and who, the run Triple M footy here, he walked in and said... Mark Howard, here's your second phone.
That's right.
He did, actually.
He's
rolling with two phones. Two phones, Howie. And he said,
what's the second phone
for? That's the Howie hotline he called
it. What could you possibly need a second phone for?
It was one phone for each.
That's the Howie hotline.
Would you want to explain that as well?
One phone for each family, is it?
Good heavens, Chief.
Come on, Howard. My beautiful wife listens
to the podcast of this show.
Well, she'd already be ashamed with the arrogance that you've exhibited. So this would come as no surprise.
She should be pulling you up, Howard.
She's a fan
like
of Dylan Friends.
If me or Das racking like that, or Damo, we'd be getting a clip.
Do you want me to give you some facts, or would you just rather continue to make stuff
up? Howard. Explain two phones, Howard.
Okay, the second phone is the Howie hotline. For fans of the podcast,
he calls up the Howie hotline.
They send in messages, and they get played on the show. The helicopter. So I was invited to play golf.
What's his second phone?
Who invited you to play golf?
A gentleman that owns a very nice golf course in central Victoria. And he said...
David Evans?
There's no names to be mentioned here, David.
Cathedral Lodge, was it?
There's no names to be mentioned of who or where. All I can say is this person...
Was Big Ned there?
...is a massive fan...
Jim?
...of Australia's number one sport podcast. So he rang me, not your mate Dylan Buckley or Cade Simpson, and said, I'd like to repay the faith of enjoying the podcast. How would you like to play golf? I said, I'm a little bit tight for time. He said, don't worry, I'll get you in the chopper. Oh.
I'm a little bit tight.
So, you dropped
so all of a sudden you weren't that tight for time when the chopper became available.
Well, I could squeeze it in then.
Oh, wow.
Anything else?
We did discuss behind your back this week, Howie. Yeah. We actually do think you do need an intervention.
Seriously.
And I'm now convinced we do.
We're not joking anymore. We were joking 18 months ago. It's just got bigger and bigger.
Getting some professional
I think we actually
help.
Need to get you in front of all of us and others to just deal with this.
It started with that bloke on the lift. I was embarrassing that night.
Don't go back on that. All right, listen. I think we need to move on, but all I'm saying is, Dylan, he does a fantastic podcast. You should listen to it if you like your Australian-style podcast. If you want a more global-style operation, then you should join the rest of the world and join the Howie Gang.
Well done.
Chief, I want you to look me honestly in the eye, Jason.
I love you, Howie.
I don't want you to lie to me now, Jason. I want you to tell me honestly. How many episodes of Dylan Friends have you listened to? I just want an honest answer.
He's just how many, doubling down on Dylan
How many have you listened to? Chief?
I haven't listened to any.
Right.
How many Howie Games have you listened to?
I want an equally honest answer. How many episodes of the Howie Games have you listened to? You be honest to me, Jason. I've been a massive supporter of yours over the years. How many?
I never caught on to the
juggernaut
what do you call them, podcast trend.
But when you're in lockdown in Darwin, how many have you listened to, Chief?
Well, you're searching for
I just want to know a statistical number.
I may have gravitated into the vicinity of podcasts when I was in lockdown in Darwin.
And you pulled me aside at the Triple M photo shoot and you said,
I did. And I said, Howie, I got to tell you, I listened to one of your podcasts and it was the biggest bag of shit I've ever heard. I actually listened to a lot of them and it hurts because they're good.
You're getting some feedback from Dylan Buckley's mates and they are
should we get Dylan on?
Should
we get Dylan Buckley on?
Go to Howie Games, I love it.
Good on you, Chief. Get him on next.
They may storm the studio, Dylan's mates. He's got a few mad mates, Dylan.
It's a great show.
For McDonald's and Ream Hot Water, Triple M Rocks Footy, and it's heating up.
Isn't that my job?
Oh, yeah.
That's my job.
You were the host, and you're now just having a little seat on the side. Our phones are lighting up at the moment. We've got friends texting in saying, Mark Howard's arrogance has reached a level that is beyond some mates of Dylan Buckley communicating with me, just saying, he's not only distraught about what he's hearing, he feels as though he's been demeaned and patronised.
Well, he was.
It could be actionable.
Correct.
Get him on.
The double down effort that you went with, Howie, is quite extraordinary. We go straight to the source often. So we're going to get hold of Dylan Buckley in a second. Dylan Friends, my favourite podcast.
Great choice.
Does a great job. Just if you missed it, just have a little recap of some of the arrogance delivered by our own Mark Howard.
Dylan, he's a good little fella, and he rang me a year and a half ago, and he said, mate, I'm trying to start a podcast. Can you help me out? So I gave him some tips.
Derogatory, like, he's a good little fella.
With content.
And Kate Simpson is a fantastic guest for the local audience, which you boys
are dealing. Local!
Dylan Buckley, the top-rating podcast, Dylan Friends. Dyl, you've been inundated with messages. Thanks for joining us. How do you feel when you hear that?
Oh, I have heard it all, boys. This is a disgrace. My phone has blown up. Mark Howard called me 2 weeks ago asking advice on how to sell some merchandise.
What sort of merchandise?
T-shirts.
What sort of merchandise?
T-shirts, jumpers, hats, caps, stubby holders. He called it. He said, Dyl, how do you do it? I need the supplier. Chief. I need to learn how to build a community like you. And I said, Howie, I'm happy to help out.
You're a good man, Dyl.
So you rang him because you want to get into the merchandise space.
Well, I'll explain it.
You need some explaining.
Dyl rang me a year and a half ago. We set up his podcast. He's got his nice local audience.
He's already established.
It's gone from I gave him a couple of tips to we set it up.
And he's a good little fella collaborated
on it.
And
has a fantastic range of merchandise. And the global audience of the Howie Games.
People want to get around and stuff. With your name after that,
T-shirts. So I rang Dyl and said, where do we get these supplied? And he, being the great man he is, he's put me onto a couple of contacts. And Dyl ordered his 100 T-shirts. And I rang his supplier. I said, no, I need 100,000 for my operation. And he's working on the order.
He's on the line still, Howie.
Do you know what the worst part is about this as well, boys? I actually asked him to come on as a guest. And what do you reckon he said? He's too busy.
Can't afford him.
No, that's not true, Dyl. I'd be more than happy to come on the show.
He's too busy appearing on his own show, Dyl, I think, to appear on you. Now, give us a bit of a snapshot for those that haven't, and not many haven't, Dyl. We had a great news-grabbing headline from Cade Simpson. Who else is in the pipeline for Dylan Friends?
No, I appreciate that, Das. I've got a big one next week, actually. Matt Rowe, Lachie Neal, Paddy Cripps and Tommy Mitchell all on one together. And
That's massive.
Yeah, it'll be a big one.
They're good names.
What's been the one that's blown you away?
Oh, the big Judd man, part of this program was huge. His episode absolutely blew up and had guys like Q Van Collenberg and Ben Crowe. And it's just been good to sort of chat to these.
Mate, they're fantastic guests. I like Matty Rowe. I got Gary Player on next week, but like Matty Rowe's a fantastic guest. So I got a 9-time major winner on Chief, and we're just illustrating we're going to a different market.
Yeah,
we're
but going your bloke is 94 years old, Howie.
Hey, respect, Howie.
Dill, did you get something out of Chris Judd? Because we had him on the Friday Huddle for 4 years, and he didn't give us much.
He is one of the smartest men, as you guys know that. But he did. It was awesome. He gave me a fair bit. The Judd man, he's got plenty of time for him. I reckon he's one of the best characters off the field.
Dill, who's your dream guest? In all seriousness, it is a great show. We love it. I listen to it all the time. If you could choose one guest, mate, who would you get on Dill and Friends, which is an outstanding podcast?
I'm sure he's on your radar as well, and you might have already had him. I'm not sure, but Nick Kyrgios would be up there with one that I'd love to get in touch with.
Have you had him, Howie?
No, working on it.
Well,
but
if Dill's
working on it, I need to step out of the way. Hey, mate, and thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you, boys.
You're a star.
Love the program.
And I appreciate your help with the T-shirts and hats and stubby holders. I think they're coming out pretty soon, which is fantastic.
Ching, ching.
Keep it up, lad.
Thanks, Dill.
Good on you, Dill.
He's a star.
Good sport, mate. Well played.
He's
How are you in the merch space?
How we in the middle? That'll blow.
You know what? It doesn't matter what space you're in. It's all about big dollar.
Hang on.
Come in.
Sorry, Nathan. This better be funny because we stopped the.
You've also upset somebody else at Triple M. So you've upset players. You've upset Dill. You've also upset BT.
Oh no.
Who was that?
Oh, you don't upset Brian.
I was speaking to Brian last night, and he...
Is this for publication, though, Brian?
Well,
when Nate goes
they were very happy
script.
With the Noah Bolter stuff they did a couple of weeks ago, and BT thinks that you squashed it on Sunday because you didn't want it on the Sunday program.
No. I'm happy to have this discussion with you.
Getting the internal stuff out of
here. Do you want to have this discussion on air right now?
Did BT want that publicised, though, Brownie?
Nate does a lot of stuff that people don't want publicised.
That wasn't public, was it?
Is Howie going head-to-head with BT now?
That is going to be a fool.
They were having a laugh about something, Jason, that I didn't feel was in the spirit of the Sunday show, because they do a very different show on Saturday. So we made an executive decision not to go with it. No, do you want to talk about what it was? Jeez. Now you've opened this can of worms, wow. Nathan. I'm interested in where you're going here.
Wow.
Do you remember what it was about, Nathan?
No, just
right. So we shouldn't play it in and get the audience to judge as to whether it was appropriate?
No, we're all good.
All right,
Has anyone ever taken Brian on and won?
Not that I've seen yet. Nah, not that I've seen.
Look at the smirk on his face. He knows he's got him covered.
He's on a roll.
I've got more.
There we go. Bring it on.
Bring it on. I run the show around here was the look that I just saw.
Brian is 38 levels above me, and I understand that. It was just an issue of content that I didn't think was the right path.
So is Brian going with inappropriate material?
No, not at all.
Come on, get to it quick.
Time for...
Come inside and have some fun. The party's only just begun.
I bet you're jamming. This is Chief's Slaughterhouse.
You got time for this here, Chief? We can put it back later in the show.
We'll do it very quickly. Right. Short and sweet. I want to tell you about a bloke called Tim Inzana. Don't know if you know about him. And I don't know if anyone, I don't know social media. There's a platform called Twitch.
Yes.
Right. This bloke, since 2021 started, he has locked himself in an empty room, in basically a shed, and he's live streaming 24/7. He's happy to spend the next 5 to 10 years doing it, creating art. He wants to sell his live stream in a custom frame as an unusual piece of artwork. The price? $5 million. $5 million for this deckhead hanging on your wall, if you don't mind. Now, he's been streaming free on Twitch, but you can get a 5-year piece for $5 million or a 10-year piece for $10 million. He wants 7,000 subscribers, and then he'll back off from the offers and he'll just keep live streaming for up to another 5 years. He does Q&A sessions, which is basically the only thing other than working himself over, I reckon, that he does in this room. I've got a couple of questions for his Q&A session. Like, one, why are you such a dick? And two, can you please ship off? But the biggest question I need to ask, who are the people subscribing to keep this vlog live stream. I mean, get a life, people. And to cap it off, he's got a fiance who's happy with the program that he's actually undertaking. That's because she's about to give him the art. It's the perfect out for her. This, get on my twist. Piss. I can't talk about it. It bothers me that much.
That's the Chief Slaughterhouse. That's where I see Howie ending up, in a room just live streaming himself. Correct. That's where it's going to end. It's heading there. It's only a matter of weeks, and that will be 24/7, just a stream of Howie.
That has possibilities, doesn't it, Howie?
Yeah.
Chief, I just remember we had a chat after the first show, and you said, yeah, I'm really enjoying the Friday Huddle. It's good. I've just got to work my way back into it. I think you've worked your way back into it. I don't think there's any concerns about that. Damo, there's a lot of news to
there
cover
There is actually,
off.
Hell yeah.
Just headline the top story for us, and we're going to get it later on in the show.
I reckon the biggest story out of the day is Liam Ryan now being unavailable for 8 weeks at least from a hot spot in his leg, which we'll speak to Adam Simpson about when he joins us before this game tonight.
It's disappointing because I like watching him as much as anyone in the game.
He's exactly right. Damo, just coming to the break. You told us some what I would call distressing news because I love the player you're talking about, and apparently we're not going to see him in action for a while.
No, and we'll get more information out of Adam Simpson when we speak to him in a few moments' time, Howie, but he's had discovered a hot spot on his leg. Liam Ryan, yeah, and that will require some full-on rest to get it right. And I'm like you, I think if he's not the most exciting player in the comp, he's in the conversation, and he's just lit up the game since that success they had in 2018. And, it's come as a surprise.
Players out there, Damo, don't you like that just do things very few can do. And if you haven't watched him closely, he's become a very complete player, Liam Ryan. He can get back in defence and take a defensive mark. It's a beautiful kick. We love the fact that he can sit on anyone's head. But
spending more time in the midfield as well when they need him to go
not
in.
Not only that, he's a hard matchup. So he's a hard man to replace. You don't have a Liam Ryan to bring in because they've got they're quite top heavy down there and they kick a lot of goals. But he just brings something that I don't think any other club has what Liam Ryan has, which is hard to replace going forward.
Question without notice, Damo. When's Rioli available again?
It's some stage of this year. Yeah, it's some stage of this year.
Late this year.
Yeah,
about round 17, I reckon.
That's Willy Rioli.
That's been resolved.
That'll be 2 years out of the game.
It'll be two years out of the game. Yeah. Which was better than the 4 years he was facing. So he will get a chance. And look, the way they're going with injuries at the moment, they were going well until Shuey went down after he had his first game back. And we've known that Elliot Yeo's out for a long time already. So it's changed that situation. Shannon Hearn's also out for tonight's game.
See, Morris Jr. was emergency last night for the Tigers, so that'll be really exciting, won't it, to have another Rioli. Willie comes back, we've got Daniel still rolling around, and Morris Jr. hopefully to debut soon.
August 24, Willie Rioli. Tanner's our producer, is just telling us. I guess the other story during the week revolved around a Hawthorn forward, Damo.
Yeah, today where it was resolved in terms of the Jonathan Patton situation under AFL investigation for inappropriate behaviour with women in the off-season. He has retired officially today. He had a contract asked that ran until the end of 2022, so he's relinquished monies attached to that. He wasn't going to be playing football again as a result of what happened in the off-season, and as such, the AFL today has accepted that retirement, obviously, and has, Chief, informed the women in question who had been party to the case against him and the investigation into him of that decision. And as far as they can tell and we can tell, there's no police involvement. And as such, the matter will now have a line drawn on it with his time in the AFL coming to an end.
And if you can separate the two issues, Damo, and that's not mating in any way the seriousness of the allegations he was facing, that's a very, very separate story. But in terms of a footy story, I find the Jono Patton story pretty tragic. Number one draft pick, 4 knee reconstructions, Damo. Have I added three,
and then some soft tissue injuries on top of all of that.
And just didn't ever quite get out on the field, did he? So that's always a sad way to end.
Number one draft pick in 2011 and was a foundation member, Brownie, of the Giants setup and was meant to be anything. And to Darcy's point, never was able to produce that because of those injuries.
What does that do to the Hawks as far as their playing list, Damo?
I'm assuming Howie would allow them to have a pick in the preseason draft, which will happen in June this year, early June this year. The draft that Cade Simpson, as we heard earlier, is hoping to get picked up in. So I couldn't see why they wouldn't have an extra spot on the list as a result of this being a retirement and as such a line being able to be
drawn. So no payout, nothing, it's just...
As far as I can tell, Brownie, he's relinquished the monies owed. I'd imagine there would be a severance form of outcome, but the details of that will remain confidential.
All right, so that is the end of Jono Patton's footy career. What else is kicking around, Damo? Adam Simpson to join us in moments' time. He's just coming out of a meeting. Scotty Pendlebury also to join us. So we'll get an update. In fact, Adam Simpson is on the line now. Mark Howard here. Coach, good evening to you. Always nice to chat with you on game day. How are you going?
Yeah, good evening, boys. Good to be here.
Hey, great to speak with you. Damo's just told us the news about one of all of our favourite footballers, Liam Ryan. Obviously, it has far more effect in your world. We're shattered because we won't get to see him play for a while. Can you just give us an update on your star forward and where he's at and what the issue is, Coach?
Yeah, I'm pretty flat about it. Yeah.
He's
just training on Tuesday night, and he sometimes... You know, the drills don't quite suit Liam, but he pulled himself out of a drill that normally suits him. And I think, so what's going on here? And he had a scan, and we found a bit of a hot spot on his shin, of all places. And unfortunately, that's going to mean time off legs and time to rebuild as well. So, yeah, really disappointing on the back of Petrocelli having a slight hamstring and losing Hearn with a calf. So, under the pump a little bit with the injuries.
Hey, Simo, can you give us a bit more on Liam Ryan? I remember chatting to you over in the West before a game, and you were telling me just how much ground he covers. He's a genuine aerobic athlete, but you said that he doesn't like to do a lot of pre-season running, Liam. he just says, leave it to the game, and I'll turn it on when it's required.
Yeah, he would have fit right in the 90s, but his pre-season is... I'll get fit playing footy, and we embrace that a little bit because we're all different, and he doesn't cut too many corners, but when he trains flat out. So there's no issue with his work ethic when he's on the track. It's just trying to get him to do those cardio sessions in the gym was a bit of a challenge. So he gets to about around 4 or 5, and he's really almost hitting his peak fitness. That's what we've seen the last few years. So what's happened the other night, it was really disappointing because he was just starting to hit his straps.
And Adam, there's obviously an element of the unknown when it comes to a hot spot on the shin, but are you able to, and have your medicos been able to relay to you how many weeks he will miss?
We're still working through that, Damo, at the moment, but it's not going to be a mystery. Like, it's going to be diagnosed 2 or 3, 4 weeks off legs, and then quite often after that, it's the same amount of time to rebuild. So once we get that clarity, probably on Monday. But he won't be back for a while.
Just on that, Adam, is that how long it takes to get a professional AFL footballer that have been off the legs, can't train? If you're out for 3 or 4 weeks, it takes 3 or 4 weeks to get back to the fitness required for the demands of our game in 2021, does it?
I think once you get past, you know, it's whatever time he has off, it's off legs, so he can't run. So you're really deconditioned. You can do, obviously, swim and all those things, as I'm sure Liam's got to really punch out for me. We've got to get that right, and I'm sure he will. In all honesty, he had a syndesmosis a few years ago, and he was quite professional how he came back with that. So it's just time off legs. It's not like you can continue a type of fitness. So I think with these type of conditions, you do have to rebuild the body a little bit.
Simo, how did you address such a change in the game last week? I know you got to look forward to Magpies pretty quickly, but last week, I mean, seemingly cruising at 33 points up, and then all of a sudden a lot of fumbles, guys running into each other, and St Kilda put enormous pressure on. And then in turn to that, you watched St Kilda last night, who couldn't bring that effort again, but they certainly did against you.
Yeah, I got the feeling that at halftime they were still pretty happy about how they were travelling. I think the indicators that we all look at was still pointing pretty good for them. So I think we all acknowledge that we were not lucky, but, you know, we found ourselves a really good lead, but, you know, we didn't think it was that big a lead in terms of the momentum of the game. And, yeah, halfway through the third, they elevated and we couldn't sustain it. That's the reality. And they went to a level that it is hard to sustain that, and they got momentum. And normally we're not too bad at finding a way to stop it, or at least get back in the game, certain degree with field position. We just couldn't get that settler for us, and unfortunately we got blown off the park.
On a positive note, Simo, a guy like Oscar Allen is one that I'm really excited to watch. He's been it's almost been a really slow development because you've had so much success with Kennedy and Darling, but now he's taking a bigger share of the workload. He looks like he's ready to become a gun key forward, and he also plays very good minutes in the ruck.
Yeah, we've got to be careful of that too, Jace, because he's a really professional young man. Like, he's got a really good head on his shoulders, and he knows what it takes to to earn respect at the club. He's done it the right way, and I think we've managed him pretty well with obviously Kennedy and Darling being there along the way. So I wouldn't say it's a breakout season this year for him. I think he's just evolving every year, and just got to keep an eye on him in this ruck, because if he rucked all year with the amount of minutes Nick doesn't play in the ruck, we'll probably wear him out, and he'll be... It reminds me a bit of Roughhead back when I was at Hawthorn. Yeah. We lost Ruffy as a forward at the back end of the season because he was just a bit drained playing ruck all year. So, yeah, we've got to keep an eye on it, and that's why we've brought in Vardy tonight.
I was going to say, there's got to be some other cannon fodder you can bring in to jump in the ruck, mate. We can't have the gun forwards being worked like that, Simo.
I'm not sure we're going to call Nath Vardy cannon fodder, Chief, are we?
I'm talking about in general other players. You don't put your star forwards there.
Well, it's a challenge for us because Nick's a unique player, and he's been playing more minutes this year than ever. So we're going to keep an eye on his impact because he's a burst player and he can do a lot of damage. But if we leave him on the ground all the time, you lose a bit of that impact. So Vard will come in tonight. He'll play his role as best he can and allow Oscar to play forward for all the night.
And so how much of we just love talking about Nick and watching what he does week in, week out. I'm staggered by his craft, Simo. You always knew that he was going to be powerful and hard to compete with, but his ability to change what he does every centre bound, how invested is he in that, or have you had to get a lot of coaches around to help him with it?
Probably a bit like yourself, Dust. With you know, you did your knee a long time ago. You did, didn't you?
Yeah.
And what you do is you re-look and try and reinvent yourself to a certain degree, especially when you're playing ruck. So what he did with his reconstructions, he actually put a lot more thought into his craft. And back in the day, it'd just be just jump. Now he's got a lot of other things he can go to. And to be honest, we're a little bit, and he was disappointed in his own game last week. We didn't work through some of the strategies that Saints did. So he's become really mature with his prep. And, you know, he's learned to jump off both legs, learned how to use his body, learned how to step an opponent. And then he studies them really well as well. So, yeah, most weeks he works it out.
Adam, hopefully Liam Ryan is back sooner rather than later. For every football fan and for your footy club, best of luck for you and the Eagles tonight against the Collingwood Footy Club.
Good on you, boys. Thanks for the chat.
Thanks,
nice
you,
to speak to Adam Simpson. Playing the Pies, Damo, every time I've opened the paper this week, someone has had a different 15-point fix on how to sort out Collingwood. Things aren't that bad, are they, Damo?
No, they are pretty bad. They are.
The Tri-Darcy more forward part.
Right. Yeah,
the best defender in the comp.
Yeah. Damo wrote one of those 15-point fixes.
No, I actually didn't.
I saw a Ralphie 17-pointer and I saw a Mick McGowan 23-pointer.
Add them together.
And
there's 40 points.
That's a lot of points. I'm sure Nathan's been reading the paper during the week thinking, I didn't think of that one.
And then the other issue too, the other layer to it is the off-field situation, which has now gone into a close to a 9 to 10 week vacancy in the main chair of the club and the presidency when Eddie Maguire in early February stood down over his words around the Do Better report. But the interim presidents in Mark Corder and Peter Murphy haven't been able to finalise a permanent arrangement. Brownie, you've got Jody Sizer also on the board.
So do you think that destabilises the club if there's nobody there doing that role?
I do, because the decisions that need to be made around the coach primarily this year can't be made when you've got an interim arrangement in that main position at the footy club. And I fully expect, well, I know for a fact that Jeff Brown has been approached by people around the club. I believe he's now open potentially to exploring the possibilities, whether that means he takes it soon if he can, whether it means he thinks about it in a 6 months' time, whether it means the club chooses to go to an extraordinary general meeting. But these are the sort of questions that are being asked behind the scenes, which is unlike Collingwood, given the 22 years that Ed had in charge. That was the one thing you could take as fact, that whether it was internally, you never knew because of Ed.
So you suggest they can't come to an agreement because there's a power struggle over who the actual president and
there's a division on the board. There's a division on the board. Yeah.
So they'd be prepared to get someone outside like a Jeff Brown as a circuit breaker.
John Bertrand's name was thrown there as well.
Yeah, he's also connected. Yeah. Not necessarily the people on the board, Darcy, are encouraging this outside influence. They would rather keep it internal, but they've had 2 months now, 2 months plus, to sort this out and haven't been able to. And as such, the agitators, and they are there at every single footy club, are now moving and asking people like Jeff Brown and John Bertrand, and it must be said, Sally Capp, who won't be doing it, but people of that profile to consider their possibilities.
Joining us on the show, the captain of the Collingwood Football Club, who is right in the middle of Optus Stadium, Scotty Pendlebury. Mark Howard here. Scott, good evening to you. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks. Yeah, going well. Out here having a bit of a warm-up and kicking some goals. I don't know why I haven't kicked one in about two seasons, but having some shots anyway.
Tonight's the night. How's your week been, Scotty?
Yeah, it's been good. Obviously, poor performance last week against the Giants, but I feel like we've addressed some of those issues, and I think we'll get a bit of a bounce back tonight. And you know, also a couple of guys playing, Mark Keane's second game and Finn's first, which will give us a bit of a spike. I think just that enthusiasm and youth coming to the side is always exciting.
How do you go with the role as Collingwood captain outside of football? It just seems to me that this club is spoken about more so than any other club in the competition. And everyone loves a Collingwood story, mate. We love a Collingwood disaster or a Collingwood tragedy.
Yeah, well, I suppose I've almost become a bit numb to it as a Collingwood player for 16 years. You know, the camera's there, win or lose, every Monday, every Tuesday, sometimes on a Wednesday, depends how bad or good things are going. And yeah, you become numb to it, but also, you know, the best part about being is a Collingwood player is you get to play in these marquee games all the time, the spotlight's on, and I really think you do get to live like a full AFL experience, good, the bad, but it's, I don't know, I've certainly enjoyed the journey so far across my career.
Scotty, just to that point, has it ever adversely affected you? I mean, to Jason's question, you have witnessed a lot in your 15 years at the time. There was the coaching transition, there's been other low moments. So, do you recall a time where it ever did get to you personally?
Oh, I think the hardest time for me was 2017. I broke my finger with, I think, six rounds to go, and I was done for the year. And then I think all that pressure was coming for Bucks. And, yeah, the boys were, you almost didn't know sort of every game. If you lost, was he going to get the sack? If he won, he probably lasted another week. But just the pressure of that and not being able to contribute on field. And, you know, we had some wins and losses in that period. But when you can sit there and you sort of feel helpless and you can't do anything about it. Obviously, through the week, you can do as much as you can, but you get judged, you know, pretty much what happens between the four quarters on the weekend. So that was a time that I found really hard. And, you know, once I think it was sort of towards the back end of that, I think maybe with a week or two to go, they announced that he'd be staying on, and sort of just felt like a breath of fresh air come across the place without living in that scrutiny.
We are speaking to Scotty Pendlebury on the Friday Huddle.
Here's Scotty, yeah, you mentioned Finlay McRae on debut, younger brother of Jackson from the Bulldogs. Tell us a bit about him.
He's been really impressive. He had, you know, a really good, pre-season. I suppose most of these young kids are taking a little bit of time just because they didn't play footy for, you know, this is his first competitive game since 2019 tonight. He's played some VFL practice games and, you don't want to compare it to his brother because his brother's a, you know, amazing player, but he's got a lot of the same attributes. He can find the ball. He's a guy always at training already that seems to always have the ball in his hands and you're calling for it from him. And, you know, he's a really good decision maker. He's a really good kick on both sides of his body, which is probably slightly different to Jack, who's, you know, heavily left-footed. But as I said, when you can play like Jack, he gets out of most situations. But, yeah, it's exciting for him. Especially coming over here, just speaking to him before, he's, you know, look at the stadium. He's never played on an AFL ground before, so it's exciting. And, you know, I really do think the club's got a guy that will play 10, 15 years through the midfield for us.
Scotty, a lot of talk about Collingwood's forward line. Do they have the ability to capitalise on their scoring opportunities? Mason Cox goes out of the lineup. People are calling for Darcy Moore to go forward. What's the recipe to getting some success up forward?
Yeah, I think actually been okay. It's our skill execution going inside 50 and, you know, watching the game back last week, I think we hit Geordie on the toes or just on the grass before he let open five times when he was out. And, you know, if you hit those kicks and you give a guy like Geordie five opportunities to put some score on the board, you know, the game looks a bit different. It's just our skill execution going inside has been, you know, probably outside the Carlton game has been pretty poor. And we're doing a lot of work on our execution and finishing and sort of, doesn't matter who's forward of the ball. If they make good leads and we can't hit the kick, it doesn't matter who's down there. They're not really going to get too many scoring shots on goal. So hopefully we see tonight a bit more care with our entries, a bit more deliberate with how we go in, and hopefully we can put a score on the board.
Are you a fan of the idea of Darcy Moore going forward?
Yeah, I like the idea of Darcy going forward. I think when you've got a guy like him and Howie that are behind the ball, I think, I suppose it was Harry Taylor who probably started it, but that ability to swing in games, I think, probably something that they'll add to Darcy's bio. I'm not sure when it will be. It could be tonight. It could be in the future. But I think guys like him and Howie, if it's not working, throw a few high flies up there and see if they can take a catch and sort of ignite us up there.
Pendles, footy's come a long way with the access we have to players. Can you imagine back in your first year, back in 2005, doing a media interview on the ground before the game?
I would have been just pretty stoked to talk to the media in my first couple of years. I'm on an iPhone with AirPods in, walking around, kicking it off the stadium. It's I often say we've got the best job in the world, and it's a lot of fun. I know there's pressure in the industry, but it is a lot of fun. It's, as I said, I'm standing middle of the stadium with, I don't know, probably 20,000 already, just talking to you guys. So it's pretty fun.
Scotty, before we let you go, just on the issue of talking to the media, and you mentioned coming to the club and the cameras are always there. I always follow it, and you see the Collingwood boys, and some are genuinely dressed down, and then there's others that have the look that they've got. The effort is not there, but they've made a lot of effort, sort of the down-dressed chic. Who's the king of that at the club that rolls in and you think, oh, gee, looks scruffy, but he's made a lot of effort to make himself look scruffy?
Yeah, well, Tommy Langdon, who's no longer with us, he was the king of that. He used to roll in and look like he just got out of bed, but he had a, you know, a Gucci polo shirt on and, you know, the beanie, and he was dressed to the nines. So, I'll say probably Darcy Moore, Brodie Grundy have probably taken over that mantle of not really caring, but deep down I know they care a lot.
It's a great skill, Nate, that.
I tell you what, your man Jay-Z is really riding off your coattails at the moment, Pendles. Anytime Jay-Z talks, it's always Collingwood, it's always Pendles. You just got to pull him in the line, I think.
Well, you got to have friends in this game in the media, and Jay's been a loyal supporter of mine. He looks after me, so So get out of the great man when you see him next.
I think you and Alex need to get him into one of those gyms that you're running, Pendles. Poor old Jay-Z, he's trained off a bit.
Yeah, well, Easter didn't come at the right time, did it for him, but he'll bounce back.
Hey, Scotty, we appreciate your time, mate. You're a star. We love watching you play. Best of luck to you and the Collingwood Footy Club tonight.
Thanks, guys. Have a good night.
How cool is that? He's just cruising around, kicking the footy in front of 20,000 with the AirPods in.
What a ripper.
And a good attitude towards it as well.
He's brilliant. And they've got a happy knack of going over to the West under the pump and performing. Their final win last year was just one for the ages. So might be a little quiet air of confidence about
a lot
the
of issues for West Coast too.
Did you get a little answer out of him, Chief, about the Dusty Moore question? And there's a reference to it might be tonight.
Just the indication there. He says, I don't know when it'll happen.
Might be tonight.
It could be tonight. You just get the feeling
that they're going to take him out of the defensive unit that's about to play Kennedy and Darling and Oscar Allen.
Yep.
I don't think so.
Time for...
It's time to test your knowledge against footy's greatest musical mind.
Get on with it, Flav.
This is Beat the Chief.
Now, Das, we said this
you.
Up at the start.
He won't get beaten. He will not get beaten.
My mind's in slow motion today.
The best anyone was got as 3 out of 10 when we gave them 5 seconds to answer it before the Chief, and that was last week when we felt sorry for the chap. So the idea is I will name a song, and the Chief and our contestant, who we'll introduce in a moment, has to name the band that sang that song. And we are focusing on 80s hair bands.
80s hair bands. That sounds like a sweet spot for the Chief.
Yeah. I'm not sure about
that. I'm still saying he'll be undefeated for the season. Carl is on the line from Bendigo. Good evening to you, Carlos. How are you going?
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Fantastic. Yeah, we're great. Who do you go for, Carl?
I'm a Tigers supporter, mate. I remember the days out at Waverley.
Do you remember Tigers Chief kicked about, what did you kick?
17
on Paul Scotty Turner. Do you remember that day, Carl?
Yeah, well, I can't, but I'm sure Chief's going to remind us.
Famous day footy.
He gets quite own, serious. Chief. Carl, what do you like on your musical identification?
I'm pretty good with the 80s, a bit of an old head banging back in the day.
All right, Carl. Well, we've heard 3 other people say that, and they have had the floor wiped clean by the Chief.
It's your night, Carl. Come on.
So, Carl, what's your you do the scoring. What's your buzzer going to be, Carlos?
Tigers.
Tigers. Chief, what are you going with?
Ledge. Because I feel like I'm out on a ledge. I'm sort of standing on a ledge, and I don't know whether I'm going to stay, keep my balance, or fall over.
So it's Captain Awesome in the first week, and ledge by week 4.
Mr. Fantastic last week. Now, so what I'm going to do, Carlos, I'm going to name the song. You are going to name the band by saying Tigers and try to beat the Chief. You're good to go.
Righto, let's do the best we can.
All right, do the best. Yeah, good luck.
Go for it, mate. I hope you have a win, actually.
Patronising.
No, I want to get out of this.
Here we go. Song number 1. Living on a Prayer.
Ledge. Bon Jovi.
1-0.
That was a hard one, because you say living and there's about 4 songs to start with. Living.
Well, that's not what Carl was thinking. But was that what you were thinking, Carl?
I was, but I said Ledge instead of Tigers. He got me. I'm trying to help him along.
Come on, Carl.
Carl.
Regroup.
All right. Song number 2. We're not going to take it.
Ledge.
No.
Do you want the original?
I'll have either.
Oh, controversial.
Was it Twisted Sister?
It was. Yes. What about him playing now? What about him saying a little pause?
Yes, he's got me.
Do you want the original? Who was the original, Chief?
No, okay, next song. Here we go. Kickstart My Heart. First time I haven't seen him with an answer.
Brown. Don't like it. It's yours, Carl.
Carl?
Tigers.
Yes.
He's Googling it.
Yes.
No. Madonna.
No.
80s hairband.
Yes, Ledge.
Oh, hairband.
Motley Crue.
Motley Crue it was. Another one for the Chief.
Yeah.
3-0, but don't worry, Carl. There's still seven to go. You might get seven in a row.
I know the song. I don't know the number. Yeah.
Here we go, Chief. He's just a touch off, Chief, but he's still winning 3-0. Our next song, Panama.
Ledge. Was that?
Sorry.
No, it's you. He said Chief. Carl, we'll get to your buzzer in a moment.
Van Halen.
Now, Carl, I just want to run things. Hang on. Now, Carl, just to make it easier for you, if it's you, Carl, we'll just simplify it. Just say Carl.
Righto.
Okay? Well, you're that, Carl? Let's have a practice. Have a practice.
Go with Legend Chief.
Carl.
That's it, Carl. Now you're good to go. You're 4-0 down. Next up, Unskinny Bop.
Ledge.
No.
Unskinny Bop was...
Shit. In three, Chief.
Sing a few
Buzzy
bars,
Leroy.
Two,
Buzzy
Chief.
It was...
Nah.
You got anything for me, Carl?
Unskinny Bop. No, I can see the band, but sorry.
It was Poison.
We can't
hear
that.
It was, and I didn't have the conviction to say
first
it.
First time Chief's missed one.
That was dumb.
Are you still in this, Carl? You're still in this. Here we go. Come on, feel the noise.
Ledge.
No.
Slade did the song first, and then Quiet Riot did as well.
Second, yeah.
What? Just give me...
So that's where you've got to be clarified.
That's a 5-0 start for the Chief.
But... yeah, it's all over.
You're still in it, Carl. You're still in it. Don't give up, mate.
Yeah.
Don't give up.
Yeah.
Okay. I Remember You.
Yeah,
I can hear it.
I know the song. Yes.
It's testing Chief today. No, we're out. That was Skid Row.
No. I know the song. Wouldn't have got him. Good song though.
Good song. Chief, just a bit off.
There's some good ones.
There
here,
is.
Eh?
Yeah. But still leading 5-0 the Chief. Okay. Pour some sugar on me. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Pour some sugar on me.
Yes, Chief.
I've had a blank. I thought that was Motley Crue.
Come on.
Famous.
It was the one-armed drummer.
That's it.
And do you know
what's
who was, Carl?
Carl,
you're in. Carl, you're in.
One-armed
Bon
drummer.
Jovi.
No!
Oh, Carl.
Def Leppard, Carlos, come on!
Oh, great Chief.
No,
here we go.
You're off time.
That's famous Richmond Forward's favourite song at Kittens, that one, I believe.
At Kittens.
Yeah. Pour some sugar on me.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Okay, we'll move on from that task. Here we go, two to go. Cherry Pie.
Ledge. Warren.
Yes. Score update. It's not on the Chief.
6-0 for the Chief.
Yeah, 6-0.
But don't worry, Carl.
I've been poor.
If you get seven out of the next one, you will win.
Yeah, I'm right.
Here we go. Yeah. The final one, hairband of the 80s, Chief leading 6-0. Shout it out loud.
Ledge.
Yes.
Kiss.
Yeah, 7-0. 7-0, our man, Damo. You think what kicking 1,254 goals is elite? This is better.
I was off tonight.
And this is how much of a pro he is. He's not happy that he missed the one that got through
to
the Cooper.
Got you tonight.
Hey, yeah. Carl, we appreciate you joining us, Carl. Have a great weekend.
Carl's
thanks for joining
Bendigo.
Up, mate.
No.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks, Jay.
See you, mate.
Good on you, Carl. Right, Carl.
Didn't know his name.
Thanks for the contribution.
Got a participation prize for Carl. Got something for him? Mystery pack.
Mystery pack. Triple M mystery pack. We'll sort out for Carl.
Called out Chief for his own name.
Damo, you've got a little bit for us?
I love it, Howie, when the greats of our game give back to the supporters, particularly in the venue in which they perform most of their great deeds. And in the case of Gary Ablett Jr., Chief, and also Harry Taylor, they're going to be doing a lap of honour at GMHBA Stadium on Sunday before the North Melbourne game. I raise that because those two guys clearly want to give back to their fans, and they're going to do it on the Sunday. They'll probably do it when they're asked by the AFL at the end of the year on the grand final day to also do it around the MCG. And it just reminded me, though, back in 1998, when a great of the game had his career finished and was asked by the AFL to sit in the back of a car and go around the MCG on grand final day just to wave as they do. And it's a beautiful moment.
For something back to the fans and put back in.
And I remember at the time, I just still can't believe the Chief.
You denied
Chief just said,
the people, Chief.
No, I'm not doing that.
Not quite how I remember it, Warrior.
How do you remember it,
Chief?
Well, you've
just used as an example Gary Ablett Jr. Yep. And
Taylor.
And what's his first name?
Harry
Taylor.
I told you, my mind is standing as Dylan Buckley.
No, my mind's blank tonight. It is. They're going around GMHBA to their fans. That's what I did at Waverley Park.
You had shared off in your last game.
So that was the Hawthorne faithful that had come for the last game.
I was there, Chief.
We played Frio, and we're both struggling teams, and normally we would get about 20,000 at that game, and there were 40 at the game, which was a wonderful, the greatest
to
compliment.
Say goodbye to you.
The greatest compliment the fans could have played. So I got a send-off from them and then thought, why would you then go to the MCC members and go, oh, well done, old chap, as you're rolling around in a car, just taking up space?
Because you're the third highest goal kicker in the history of the game. And the AFL wanted to celebrate your departure.
Lord, look at that man out there.
Listen, MCC's got to drive by that.
Let me decode what actually happened. The AFL rang Chief and they said, we think this would be a great thing, grand final day. Yeah. And the Chief said, your position would be greatly enhanced if I had a big wedge in my hand right now. In the vicinity of 10 large, and they said, it's a bit of an honour bestowed on the greats. And Chief,
never ever asked
you can
for money.
Ship off.
No, they been, said, would have been Wayne be Jackson.
You would have said, Jacko.
No, they said, tell your story. Would be a good idea, and I said, you thought wrong.
I do recall that, Chief. I'm pretty sure Wayne Jackson did personally make the phone call.
He eventually did. Yeah. I was away on holidays, mate.
Holidays,
were you really?
Yeah.
Overseas.
I can't remember what I was like.
Overseas, memorable.
Well, our season had finished, so then I was off.
Maybe you could have a retrospective one. Do it in 2021 at the end of this
there'd
year.
There'd be 80,000 Hawthorne supporters if he was
what
there.
What about that, Chief? Could I mount that campaign for you?
I'd rather go back to the MC. Oh, I say, have a look at that fellow out there. He must have played at some stage.
You've been practising that at home, haven't you?
I'm in a really loopy mood.
You wore number 19.
I worry what you do.
Who's that fat bald fellow out there? Do we know him?
It's time for the oldest thing of the world.
The Friday Huddle team sat down at their mahogany table to come up with the next big idea in radio. Then someone said,
hey, what if we do a countdown?
This is the Friday Huddle's Top 5.
It's all you, Needles. It's all you. These are the great turnarounds. These are the top five great turnarounds. We see a lot of people in the footy industry or any media, whether it be cricket, where Howie's tried armbar into my top five here, and people are either really nasty or really hard work in the media when they're either a coach or a player. But then when they get out of that environment and they become somebody in the media, they are the nicest people.
So turn on the channel.
I know who number one is already.
I like where you're going.
This is going to be very, very controversial.
This is good news. For an example, he's not in the top five, but our man from last year, Chris Judd, he couldn't have given any less in his football career.
The most boring person ever.
Unbelievably boring.
Ever
don't know how he got back at all. It just so boring. Like, didn't read papers. Yes, you did, Juddy. You read papers.
Didn't have a TV.
You lied. Didn't have a TV. You did, Juddy. You had the biggest TV in Western Australia. But then all of a sudden, he turned into a lunatic. He turned into an absolute lunatic because he thought there was a dollar involved in it. And he was wondering where the next paycheck was going to come from. And I asked, well, he hasn't made the top five because I sent through three clips to Snorkel, the big nose producer, and all three of them got knocked down. They went to air the last few years, they were that bad we couldn't play them. So
I've never seen anyone more relieved than they are, man. Nose producer now that Juddy's not
and
on
this
the
is
product.
Very very
so just summarize it, this is the top five
turnarounds,
right?
and Juddy had said these things on air over the last couple of years and you weren't allowed to play them.
Wasn't allowed to play them in 2021.
See, I missed all this. I need to hear them.
It was loose.
You better
big trouble. Delete the hard drive.
Why are they deleted now if they're okay over the last couple of
years? Snorkel at the back there has a few issues with the dump button as well.
Chris Judd's a real sick unit.
Okay.
I didn't have to go very far to find the first one because I don't know whether you know, Chief, but the man sitting to your right, Luke Darcy,
yes.
Like the angriest person you would ever want to come across. He punched Robert Murphy in the back of the head in a practice match.
He punched Bob.
In the back of the head.
The nicest bloke that's ever played.
He was a bit lippy.
He threatened. Listen to the man I'm going to tell you he threatened on a golf course, Andy Maher. He threatened to punch actually, Andy Maher's lights out.
That's actually a true story.
That was and a Royal Deli.
At a bar in Spain, there was a fish tank full of piranhas.
Incorrect.
And he kept putting his hand in it. It was in Italy. Leon Cameron, his great mate, said, stop doing it. We're going to kick the out. Stop doing it. We're going to kick the out. Kept putting his hand in the piranha tank. Stop doing it. Duke turned around and dropped him. Well, his best mate.
Might have drunk about a litre and a half of grappa.
You get punchy when you're on it.
So here's the great turnaround. Let's have a listen to this.
Hello and welcome to the House of Wellness. I'm Luke Darcy. Happy as always to catch up with you at home. Very, very excited to bring some extra sparkle to the couch.
Calm.
Extra sparkle.
Extra sparkle. And you know what they spoke about on this episode?
What are we speaking about?
How to activate your almonds. Avocado, the good fat. And laughter is the medicine for your soul.
Friday, 2 o'clock. And if you miss Friday, you can catch it at lunchtime on Sundays. Joe Stanley and I.
Now, I don't think I'll be catching.
So Duke's number four. Number four, I've gone to Howie for this one because I asked in the cricket world, is there anyone like the footy? Because the rest of them are footy. Captain Grumpy.
AB. Had to be AB.
Alan Border is the nicest person you would ever meet.
Nicest. And he used to.
Nicest. Yeah. You get in the commentary box with him and he's so giving. He helps you out, tells stories.
Lovely
all
man.
All that sort of stuff. But he wasn't so nice on the field as Captain Grumpy. And you have to listen to this carefully because the audio is not great. But this is Craig McDermott he's speaking to.
Hey, dude. Talk to you. Come here.
To shocked laughter from the crowd, the paceman answers back. He threatened with a ticket home.
That again, mate. Next plane home.
And then one final warning.
Test me, mate. We'll see.
So this is the nicest man you've ever met, Howard.
Nicest man I've met.
Just rolling out that. And Billy, Craig McDermott, he's a big lad too.
Yes. What did he say then? Chip, you'll be in the next plane home. Yeah. Test me, chap. See how that works. Yeah. I've never heard that audio before.
That's the famous story.
Some captains belt their teammates in the back of the head.
Only when they deserve it.
Three top turnarounds from being rough when they play but lovely in the media.
Now, there's a guy that you worked with on a Sunday a few years ago and you've got to admit, when you're around Rodney Eade, like, there is no nicer person than Rodney Eade.
No, you can't go
He's your first person you ring up when you want to have a great time. He's the nicest guy.
Great company, Rocket.
Great company, Rocket.
Very understood unit, Rocket.
Coaching.
You can't do this,
bro. Just did silly things to people.
This wasn't him.
F***ing run, Will!
Rocket, we can't think.
Sorry, mate.
Come on. Okay. Come on.
Let me mention again!
Right, okay.
Get him off.
Yeah,
Get Minson off!
He's coming. Get him back off. Get him off.
Get
him off.
Minson off!
Rocket, we can't hear. We can't hear.
That's gold. That is gold.
That was a clever impersonator, I'll have you believe.
He couldn't have been nicer to work with.
Leo's voice right too.
He could not have been nicer to work with on a Sunday. I'll never forget the first Sunday he came in, Chief, and he told us how he was concentrating on health and fitness and his wife was a vegetarian, so for 6 months he'd been vegetarian. Then he had three sausage rolls at halftime.
One of the great guys. But then we replaced him with Ross Lyon, who on a Sunday, how nice is he?
He's lovely.
Just want to be in Ross Lyon's presence. He's not the grumpy man you saw as the AFL coach and not the one that was in the press conferences with Shane McGuinness.
Ross, we saw a number of quiet plays go down off the ball. Was there a message before the game you wanted your players to be physical at all times? Or was that...
Well, I'm not sure what you're alluding to. Are you talking about Dockers players or Geelong players?
Geelong players. We saw a few Geelong
players. Well, I think you're out of line because what I saw some Dockers players go down off the ball.
I'm sure. Yeah. There were as well. But yeah. Did you have a message to your players in particular?
What do you think?
I don't know. You tell me. You're the coach.
Well, I just think it's a silly question. Okay. We play within the rules. What's your name?
Shane
who?
McGuinness.
Okay, that's the best question you can come up with after 2 hours of footy. You're quite brilliant, Shane. Yeah, terrific.
Oh, wow.
That's as good a whack as you'll
get. That's aged well there.
So the number one, and I saw him last night, and I was talking to him with BT, softly spoken, asking about the game, ask how I was going, and Mick Malthouse is the nicest guy. I didn't meet him during my playing days, but I've met him so many times, and you hear stories about Mick blowing up or in the coach's box, all that sort of stuff. But I've met him so many times in the commentary box,
Mick, lovely
guy, an unbelievably nice guy, but not so much to Jay-Z and Steve-O.
Is he
think you boys came to play today?
I reckon they probably come here thinking, no, we're going to have a real bad one today in the first quarter. What do you honestly think? That term, come to play, where does it originate from, and what do they reckon? They come to play marbles or football, or do you think they didn't come to play? Do you think they sat in their cars waiting for the game to start, then go out there?
Last one, guys. You've been around a long time, Nick. Just the week you've had. Was it a tough one leading in?
They're all tough.
Any regrets at all about what happened?
Sorry, do I need to get a confession or something? Last week, or I murdered someone?
No, not at all. I'm just saying.
Thank you.
Old Statement Stevens, eh?
That's the top five. And you're lucky you weren't number one, Duke, because you used to be an absolute madman.
Really?
He punched teammates.
In the back of the head.
Once he had it coming to him, Chief.
Bob Murphy had it coming to him.
Not just teammates, but mates, Chief. They're mates.
What did Bob do?
We're on a cruise down the Maribyrnong going to his pub, the Angler's Tavern.
Oh, yeah, we're going.
Remember a guy called Shane Burst, number 40?
Yes. Yeah.
He hung him by his feet in the water while the boat was moving.
So he's
going.
I haven't
heard this. We went to pull him up. We thought you'd gone too far, Duke.
That's right. I've done that to Brayshaw before.
To quote you, Darce, there's a timeline.
There is actually a timeline.
Congratulations. A warm round of applause from all of us, Darce. It's been announced that you are front and centre on the Channel 7 Olympic coverage.
Oh. Well done, Duke.
When do you fly to Japan?
It's very rare to get something that sounds
condescending,
all positive.
When do you fly?
What a great honour it is to be part of the Olympic coverage coming up 23rd of July.
What's your role?
17 days.
What shift you got? What shift?
I and alongside Jonah Griggs, because Griggs is just a superstar.
She is great.
So I'm really looking forward to that.
So you'll stand up the back of the studio, will you, and just... If she loses her voice, you jump on and take over the microphone, or
what are you calling, Duke?
I'll bring Griggsy a glass of water if she gets a little bit parched at any stage. No, we'll be hosting the morning session, Nath, which would be good fun. So
you know the great Dennis Cometti says that the Olympics are career killers because they come around once every 4 years and all of a sudden you find yourself having to talk about European handball and people come unstuck.
Guru. If I can call the netball at the Commonwealth Games, Howie, I think I've got through that one.
Just dropping that one, is he?
Well, talking about opportunities for something to go wrong.
So will you be calling sports or hosting?
No, hosting in the morning with Griggsy, Joanna Griggs.
Great time zone
Bruce
too,
is
a lot of medals.
Going to join us. Yeah, it'd be great. The swimmers, the first week the Australians will set to win a lot of medals in the pool. How I love the Olympics. I love every time it comes around. I'm glued to the TV screen.
So take us in. There was a big photo shoot during the week, and we've got the photos here.
Bit of smugness on Duke's face.
What? Surely you wouldn't smile you're excited about the Olympics?
You wouldn't host with that same smugness, would you?
Well, you tell me, Chief. The lineup in a photo, as you well know, like at Fox Footy, you and Gary at the front, all the rest of us way in the back.
Bruce in the middle.
So Bruce, Hamish right next to Bruce. Yep. So what do you interpret that as meaning?
Well, all the popular people are there and then someone's got to stand to the back, haven't they?
So my man, who's a great man, he's way left in an ill-fitting suit, Andy Marr.
Probably not far enough away, I would have thought, Andy.
So what does that mean Marr is working on?
Andy will be pre-recording colour interviews, I suspect, that they'll use as fillers if there's something going on. Well, look at the way he's dressed and where they've got him. He can't be presenting.
Chief, do you read anything into this that our man Darce and Hamish are part of this Channel 7 crew? And as we've known now for many years about what's happening on behind the scenes here with the Bruce McAvaney replacement. Do we read anything into this? Both Darce and Hamish are part of the Olympics and certain other people aren't?
Well, Brayshaw got the Friday night gig, didn't he? So maybe this is the little...
Square up.
Olive branch just to say, look, we know you're not going that bad.
Are you flat that Hamish is more front and centre in the photo?
Well, Hamish is right next to Bruce, then Shervo, then Abby, then Griggsy, and then Darce.
Are you photoshopped in there? I feel like they didn't know where to put you.
No, that's me in the flesh, front and centre. It's an insight into you lunatics, the way you guys
Triple M Football's on Instagram now.
I thought you were part of the backdrop when I looked at it because you're that far back. I thought it was just one of the rods standing up the back of the wall.
Something so you guys wouldn't understand is being part of a team, just playing your role. Great to hang out with the great Bruce McAvaney up there the other day. Well,
you
and
won't
spend
be on,
some time
you
with
Mac. You won't be on camera with Bruce, though.
No, Mac is joining us for the morning. Mac is going to be giving us
And you're
us
on
an
the
update.
Desk. You're not up the back of the studio. You're
we'll be
actually
standing
on the, you
in
are on
front
the desk.
Of, for the highest digital, high quality screen that will be broadcasting Olympics in the finest of high definition, Chief. It's going to be fun. I know you're a big fan, Chief. I know you're a big fan of my work.
I'll be tuning in the Olympics. Don't worry about that.
Where are you staying in Tokyo?
Right in the heart of Tokyo, I'm suspecting. Just be drinking lots of sake.
Like Docklands?
Docklands? Is there a Docklands part of Tokyo? I think we'll be down there. Going to be a lot of fun, Howie. Yeah, very, very much looking forward to that.
Shervo, he's front and centre. Is he your athletics man?
He's the full package, Shervo. There's no doubt about that. He was in good form up there on Sunday, went up to Sydney.
So again, what's Andy doing?
Yeah, I haven't worked out Andy. I'm not 100% sure. It's like a Where's Wally, I think. Just
surely colour interviews for Andy. Little pre-recorded.
Like, you all look
fillers.
Fantastic. And then Mari's in like a 1970s Miami Vice suit. What happened?
Did he just photobomb them, maybe?
It looks like.
He was just walking past and jumped in.
I think he has. Old Andy, I'm not sure what Andy's doing. What would Andy call? What do you reckon?
He's a star. He can
call anything.
He can call anything.
Take the hat off to him, Duke, but he just...
Surfing's in it, isn't it, Howie?
Yeah,
surfing
is
it? There you go. That's what he's doing.
No, we love Andy, Mark.
He could call surfing, cycling. Good luck. So when did the Olympics start?
I met your friend Mel McLaughlin.
Oh, now she... There. I presume
up with
now,
Mel.
Great girl,
now,
Mel.
You're doing the morning shift, which is fantastic to be involved in the Olympics, but it's the morning shift. Mel, I presume, is on at 7 p.m. at night.
So you're saying that Griggsy in the morning is off Broadway, is that what you're saying?
No, I'm saying you're off Broadway. I'm not
she's
Griggsy.
Way off Broadway if she's working with you. Well,
I must admit,
when
we turned up and I was standing next to her, I could detect she was a touch flat. They'd flown me
out. So Mel would be the 7 p.m. She'd be what they call prime time dust.
Mel is prime time. There's no doubt.
And
about
Haim's
that.
Prime time.
Haim and Macca just does 24 hours a day. I think it'll be it'll be a lot of fun.
Did Andy not make it to the green room before that photo? Wardrobe didn't get to him.
You're intrigued by this photo, aren't you, Chief?
Oh, it's just that he looks completely different to everybody
out of
else,
place, doesn't he?
Yes.
Hey, we are right behind.
Very
you.
Good, mate. He's a very good caller. He's better than Duke, but he's sort of on the outer there. Gee whiz.
How early in the morning, Duke, are you on?
Five till nine, I reckon he's on.
Graveyard shift. Midnight till 6 a.m.
There'll be a lot of gold medals called, Nate.
What is the time difference?
No, it's a great time.
Nine till one, I think. Nine till lunchtime. Yep. Morning shift.
No, the time difference. Sorry, what?
I think it's a good time zone, isn't it?
No, I've seen the schedule. Dars is on 9 till 12 and events start Australian time at 12:30. So you'll have a lot to work through. It'll be fantastic.
Previews.
This is the Triple M Friday Huddle for McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Triple M at Rocks Football. Mark Howard, Luke Darcy, Jason Dunstall, Nathan Brown, Damian Barrett. At this stage of the show, we always like to introduce a guest who has played for both clubs tonight. It is West Coast and Collingwood, and this man for mine.
And about three other clubs.
Well, you don't want to mention that. Just let me pump him up.
He was massive at Port Adelaide too,
Just
Howard.
Let me
Big
mention
the
first.
This man.
This man was a star at the West Coast and Collingwood football clubs.
The Friday Huddle's cult hero of the week is a man who patrolled the goal square for 9 seasons, earning himself a Coleman medal.
Scott Cummings, going at number 14, the best ever by an Eagle.
He played 128 games for 4 clubs while booting 349 goals. However, those achievements pale into insignificance compared to his feats over many years during the EJ Witten Legends matches.
So have a look at that. Scotty Cummings. Thank you very, very much.
Please welcome big man Scotty Cummings.
That's it. One of the nicest men in football joins on the huddle. Hello, Scotty.
Hello, gents. And let me just say, I join you in complete trepidation. Good to be with you all.
We're only under one instruction. We needed to get the interview done now because you're either on the back end of a lunch or getting ready for a dinner. Which one is it?
I'm still at lunch, Howie, but it is it's Perth time. I'm in Perth, so it's only 3:30, so we've only just done entree. So I'm going okay, but this could go anywhere. Please be good.
Now, Scotty, looking back at having played for 4 clubs, which of those had the most enjoyable culture? Which was the most fun to play at?
It starts at Essendon, and I was a 18-year-old coming out of mum and dad's house and moving to Melbourne, which had buildings and people and that sort of thing. And I was introduced to the likes of Macedi and McCurry and those sort of guys. So that was a Kelthorpe. I lived with Dave Kelthorpe for a while. So there was some big, steep learning curves there, which I think I got them pretty quickly.
Yes, you learned them well, they tell me.
Yep, and took them on for the next 8 years. So, look, everywhere you go, you've got great, when you join a footy club, a lot of blokes just play at one, losers. But when you get you join a club and you meet people that you used to fight on the field or hate them as, and then you meet them as blokes and they're all pretty much the same. But there was fun all around the place. Essendon was fantastic. As I said, a great learning curve for a young bloke. And then at Port Adelaide, somehow I became one of the senior players after playing three games, three years of footy and teaching the young SNFL boys what it was like. And West Coast, I walked into a very established culture of good times. And when I left, they really took it on. They really went on with it after I left. But, and then at Collingwood, you've got the Rat Pack, and which I had nothing to do with. You know, I was too old to be a part of the Rat Pack. But culture-wise, you know, Jason, they're all the same. You know, they're just good blokes all trying to do the same thing. And then when you got a chance to have a bit of fun, you'd certainly go and take it.
Scotty, we take a lot of humour out of our leader here, Luke Darcy, that in his first three games failed to have...
He's the leader now.
He failed to have one kick, one handball, Captain, and he failed to have one hit out in his first three games of completed football. No problem for you, though. 8 goals in your first game.
Bang.
Yeah, think of one handball, one hit out in three games.
No, that was zero. Zero.
It was a time where they had a sub rule that very few people forget about. But anyway, Scotty, you kicked 8 in your first game, did you?
Yeah, you know I did, Darcy. it was 8-2, and I got in trouble from Sheeds because it was 8-2, and well, wasn't it 10? And that was pretty much where our relationship deteriorated from then on. So it was a good one. But I always say though, like in your debut, you can jump up and have a good game because no one knows you. No one knows your strengths. No one knows your weaknesses. The next game after that, and obviously got a fair amount of attention during that week, you can imagine how much excited I was to play on Mick Martin in my second game. And he took it really well that I got a bit of attention. and conceded pretty much for the four quarters to spit on me for most of the game. So he wasn't trying to spit, he was just talking. So that's just what happens when you're in a fight with Mick Martin. But, look, the first game was good. But as I said, I believe you can sneak up on people in your first game and have a good debut, but it sort of went downhill from there. Anyway,
hey Scotty, I don't reckon we would have enjoyed playing for the last decade, but all of a sudden in 2021, it looks like it could be fun to play forward again.
What if, Chief, if you got a free kick every time someone put their arms around you, you would have kicked 2,000 goals if that was the case. It's unbelievable, isn't it? But I'd still sort of hesitate at the 15 k's a game they run.
Yep.
That's took a concern. It took me about 6 weeks to amass those numbers. But the free kicks and the way it's coming in now, it's so exciting. We might actually see someone that achieved what you did, Chief, and kick 100 goals in a season. And so it's exciting to watch. But you sit there sometimes and just go, that's a free kick. Really? Fantastic. Well done to you. I've got 4 lumps on the back of my head still 20 years after I retired. And that was fair ball play on.
Yeah. Hey, Scotty, you mentioned Kevin Chirty before and the relationship you may have had with him. You came across some massive big-name coaches. John Cale, obviously, at Port Adelaide, and then Mick Malthouse at two separate footy clubs, Ken Judge in between. Who did you get on best with?
Mick easily. Mick and Jack Cale were my two favourites by a mile. And this is, I caught up with, I wasn't intentional, let me tell you, I caught up with Sheeds just after lockdown. We were at Lamaro's and really nice of Paul Dimantino to put me on a table next to Sheeds. So I appreciated that. And after about 11-7 vodka and sodas, I decided to have a chat with Kev. And it didn't go well. I got a fair few things off my chest, but I'm not a fan of Sheeds, but not for every bloke like me who didn't like him, you know, because I was playing in the reserves, you know, there's two that loved him for every bloke like me that didn't like him. So, but Mick was the best that I had him play my best footy under him because he got you, Dano. Like he understood what made you tick. He took the time to care about you and what makes you tick and he'd work on that. And Mick, you know, it surprised a lot of people. Mick had a brilliant sense of humour. He loved a practical joke and a gag. You just had to be
just well
really
hidden,
careful.
Scotty, as it turns out. You have to dig deep to find it. Can I? Did you seriously, after all these years and a couple under the belt, did you have a few home truths for Shee? Did you tell him what you thought? How'd that go?
I thought it went well. I'm not sure he listened a hell of a lot, to be perfectly honest with you, but. When I'm standing next to Anthony Rocco and he comes up and says, "G'day, Anthony, how are you going?" And I'm standing there like an absolute stag on a rock going, I don't think he remembers me. And And Tebs had to introduce me to him. And he said, you remember him, Scott Cummings? He goes, oh, yeah. But the one thing that I know how to get under his skin now is just to tell him that that's why. And we said a few things, and I told him a few things. And he said, oh, why'd you sack me? He goes, because you were fat. I said, well, I wasn't. And I was 20, for God's sake. I wasn't fat. And that was his argument. I said, and that is why. This is how you get under Kevin Sheedy's skin. That is why Mick Malthouse is a 10 times better coach than you.
Oh, no.
And, I felt pretty ballsy. it was late in the afternoon. And just tell him that Mick is so much a better coach than him. And, hey, you didn't really appreciate it, but what have I lost? I lost a mate.
Scotty, before we let you go, we could talk to you all night. You mentioned relationships in football, and there's some good ones, there's some strong ones. The guys in this room wouldn't know that you and I used to sit in this very studio back in the early days doing Dead Set Legends. Well, hang on.
How did you make this about you again,
just let me finish the question.
Back to Howard, have you?
So we did it for a year, Scotty, and I thought you'd be back for the second year, and all of a sudden, year two,
cut the cord.
Nathan Brown popped up, and you seem to have lost your job for Nathan. I know it's something you two haven't discussed ever since. I was never told what happened, but from what I'm told, Nathan took your job. Is that the way you saw it?
No, I saw it as you knifed me, you reptile.
That'd be right.
I heard that the meeting went, I'm not sure he's bringing much to the table, Fitzy. let's bring in Nathan. I've got no grudges against Brownie. They're all on you, Howie.
I think I got knifed 12 months after that, Scotty, as well.
Then we got Dave.
And one of the great political animals, Mark Howard, you've ever seen. You've never seen anyone spend more time in management's office. He's out there, and new one's nodding his head saying, yes, he works the angles with me every day. Now, Scotty, before we let you go, mate, you kicked 70 goals a year at Port Adelaide, 14 in a game, and you could have and played some amazing foot. Do you look back at all and think, geez, would I change anything?
I probably wouldn't. Maybe my diet, but that's about it. But not much, Darce, because there's some people that live and breathe footy, and they go to bed with the footy on their arm, and they weigh their food, and they do this and that. But I had to have an outlet, and I had to have some fun along the way, and that's why I think when I got to West Coast, Mick would allow me to have some fun. When I was at Port Adelaide, Jack Cale was sensational. He allowed you to have some fun. So when I was at my happiest, I was playing my best footy, and that involved going out once a week on a Saturday night and having a blowout. Then so be it. So I wouldn't change too much, Nars. And you know what? A lot of people talk about one clubs, and that's fantastic, but I've had to play at four sensational clubs, and now I've got mates all across the country. So I consider myself fairly blessed, mate, when I look back on it all. So I don't look back and regret things, because I don't want to live like that. But I wouldn't change much other than maybe the diet.
I love it, Scotty. In a word, Scotty Cummins Cup tonight, West Coast v Collingwood. Who wins?
I don't want to say, because I don't think it's the team I want to win. Anyway, but at the end of the day, Howie, Scotty Cummings Cups, it's happened in round 2, 3, 5, 6, and we've still got 10, 11, 19, 20, and 23 to go. So we'll get back to it. Look, I think here in Perth, we've been open for the week, which is fantastic. I think the Eagles win just, but I'll be sitting on my hands trying not to upset anyone in Barrackin for the pies.
Good on you, Scotty. Everyone good in the room has a lot of love for you. Thanks for joining us. Stay safe. Enjoy the rest of the lunch and the start of the dinner.
Appreciate that. All the best, lads.
See you, mate.
Well done, mate.
Well, that is it for us, because now we hand over to West Coast v Collingwood. Dennis Cometti, Lockie Reed, Embers, the full crew over there, Tanya, the X-Man will all be involved. So you gentlemen have got the rest of the night off. What are you going to do, Damo? You normally sneak out at this time of night anyway.
Yeah, I've got to catch up with a mate who's having a farewell from his employment, so that'll be me for the evening.
What about you, Noodles? Chance to sneak down to the Shakers on a Friday night or not?
No, the family, as I said before, just got home, so it'll be a movie night tonight. I'll watch a bit of the football on the iPad, but a bit of family time tonight.
What about you, Big Chiefy? What happens to you?
I'll be home studying all the weekend's games, doing plenty of prep and factoring in a little bit of me time while I'm doing all of that.
What about you, Dust?
It's all me time, Chief. That's your life. And I'll be watching. I won't be doing what Chiefs up there. I promise you that. I'll have one eye on the footy. And coaching the juniors this weekend, how are they back? The Glen Iris Gladiators.
Yes.
I'm back in the coaching chair.
Are you?
I'm going to really tee off this year, too.
Right. He's got a bit of Demir Dokic about him.
Someone comes in my line of sight, I warn you, I've run out of patience.
What is this,
I'm
under what?
Start ripping the paint off the walls. Under 14s. Going to dial it up this year.
Where are you playing tomorrow?
We're playing Camberwell Sharks. They wear the helmets.
I want you to watch back before you go tomorrow morning. Just watch back an episode of House of Wellness and you calm down. Yeah.
Shut up! The footy's on Triple M.
Triple M rocks footy.